in a study for the last two Sundays and this Sunday, and probably for at least one or two more Sundays, about body life. Let me just give you a little review before we move on. If you're visiting with us, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, I want you to know how people ought to act in the household of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. He tells them there's a way to act, there's a way not to act. We are in a household, which means we are brothers and sisters. There are spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. And in a household, you have differences, the way to have them in a regular household. You have them in the church. He talks about in 1 Corinthians that Carol quoted at the end there, that there's a body, and as a body, there's different members. And he actually lists them. They're male and female, free and bond, Greek and non-Greek, Jew, Gentile, the differences. And yet each person in the body of Christ is loved by Jesus Christ. That's how we need to think of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus loves that person. Jesus died for that person. And Jesus has forgiven that person. Even though you can't forgive them, or you can't love them, or whatever it may be, Jesus loves them. And Jesus died for them. The picture of that is, of course, this is still review. The picture of that is, of course, communion. When we come and take communion, we are saying visually, you know, externally, as people can see, that we are at peace with God vertically and we're at peace with our brothers horizontally. You can come in this church and you don't need to be a Christian to take a hymn book and sing. You can come into the church and you don't need to be a Christian to put in the offering plate, but you need to be a Christian to come to the Lord's table. If you are not a Christian and you take the Lord's supper, you don't need the supper, you need the Lord. This doesn't do anything for you. He is the one that changes us. And Paul says to Timothy, or excuse me, Paul says to the Corinthian church that there's divisions in the church. And so they are negating who they are by coming to take communion. It's a contradiction. And so he says, you eat judgment for yourselves. The next message I gave was the standard. What does God say to us about what the church ought to be? And I quoted there, or we looked at the passage, this was last week in John 13. A new commandment I give to you. We love to tell the world, right, that the Ten Commandments are not suggestions. There's all this big now confrontation in Alabama about the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, all of these people are going to jail because they don't want to take down these Ten Commandments, this federal judge. And we say to the world, these are not suggestions, these are commandments. Well, Jesus said, I give you a commandment. The same way we condemn the world, Jesus looks to us and says, and you? And you who say to others, don't do this, do you do this? Paul says that. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. We have all failed. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. If you love, really love. Don't fake it, love. We looked at the passage in Ephesians 4. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, to give grace. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm still quoting this passage. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let no bitterness, anger, and clamor. Isn't it interesting, as Paul talks about unwholesome words, which grieve the Spirit, which reflects inward conditions, which he says, and be kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as Christ, God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you and me. I know it's a bold statement, but I'll say it again. There is no precedent to criticize or speak unwholesome words about any brother in Christ. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. This takes work. This takes work. You have to be diligent to, you have to guard your mind. You have to guard your heart. I talked about last week how people can have a disease like tuberculosis. And you come into a building and you cough and you cough and you cough. And what happens? That TB, which is very contagious, by the way, it's in the air. And when we come to church with unresolved differences, when we have unwholesome words that have been spoken, when we have not the love that Christ has for us, when we have not forgiven, we are bringing that into the church. You may smile. I may smile. I may look at you and smile. It's not real. You brought the TB in. What do? When you have a situation, I told you, of course, the thing you never do is talk to somebody about it. It has nothing to do with them. And then I even said last week, you don't talk to the person about it. You talk to the Lord about it. You talk to the Lord about it. Lord, here is a situation. Here is a situation. You think the Lord's going to say, why don't you call up somebody about that? You think the Lord's going to tell you to do that? You know something? You need to be more upset about that. You're not angry enough. You need higher blood pressure. Go to the doctor, get high blood pressure medicine, because it's going to go up, because I want you to keep frustrated about it. You think the Lord's going to do that? Do you think he's going to say to you, love one another just as I have loved you? Forgive one another just as I've forgiven you. I said last week, well, but what do we do if a brother needs to be corrected? And I said, I'll talk about that. That's what this message is about. Let me tell you again, this series is going to go 4 weeks at least, maybe 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. I've never preached this before. I've been too scared. You won't hear this in the church. Everybody tells you, well, every church has gossip. Not in Grace Church anymore. We are making a new goal. A new goal. This is a decisive moment. We're either playing a game or we're serious. We're serious. Either Christ said these words or it's phony baloney. Love one another just as I have loved you. So, the message this morning is, what do you do, because we are different and we're part of the body, Jew, Gentile, male, female, bond, free, whatever it may be. What do we do when someone needs correction? Or, I have been offended. I have been hurt. I have been sinned against. What do you do? Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's the natural life of the household, in a home or the household of the church. Now, let me say again, we're going line upon line, precept upon precept. We're going lower and lower and lower to get down to the bottom of the whole scoop, right? It was easy, the first line. Wasn't too bad, the second line. That's pretty nice, not too easy, the next, but this is line upon line, precept upon precept. And I say again, as I said before, I am preaching to myself. I have written down here throughout my whole message, you and I, page 2, you and I. You can look at my notes if you want to verify it. You can't read the notes, but I'll show where it says you and I. My wife will make no money after I die with these notes, because no one will be able to read them. You and I. Well, there's two very famous passages. This is the first passage. We all know it. Matthew 18. I've been in the church 24 years as a pastor. Matthew 18. Here's Matthew 18. The words of Jesus. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me first off and say this. I've been very appreciative of many people. I'm talking many, now I'm talking about two or three, but many people have told me, Pastor Sam, this is exactly the messages I need to hear at work, for my work. Because this works at work. This is exactly what I need to hear in relationship with my family. It works in your family. This is exactly what's helping me that I need to hear with my marriage. This helps. But this passage now getting specific, not in work where you have believers, unbeliever, or in a family, but this is in the church. Because he talks so much about tell it to the church and let him be to you. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound. So, the first thing, if your brother sins, if you've been offended, if you have concern, if there needs to be correction, you go to him, show him his fault, talk to him in private. You are never, you and I are never, never, never to go to anybody else. Did you hear what I said? Who said these words? Who said these words? Jesus says, you go to him in private. Never, never, never. You have no reason, no excuse to go to anyone else. Not an elder, not a pastor, not even your wife and husband if it doesn't concern them. Remember, I told you, I made a commitment here. I will never speak critically of any brother in Christ to my wife, ever. I've told my wife to tell me, to confront me and say, you should shut up. You should not talk. I don't want to hear it. Not an elder? No, well, but pastor, no. It doesn't say show him, go to him in private, except if you need the pastor. Oh, Jesus made a mistake here. I know a little bit better. Is he the head of the church? You and I may be absolutely right in a horizontal situation. You may be absolutely right in being offended, in someone needing being corrected. You may be absolutely 120% right. But if you go to anybody else, you're wrong. Did you hear what I said? I don't think we're getting it here. Do you hear what I said?
Yes.
You are already at fault. You have sinned. You have sinned. This is the goal of Grace Church. It's my goal. This is how you solve the need. This is how you do it. Jesus tells us how to do it. If you go to somebody else, pick up the phone, share it in the car, you're not solving the situation. You speak to somebody else, you drop a little morsel, you're not out to solve the situation. You have harmed the body. Tuberculosis has been spread, disease. You've harmed the body. This is someone that Christ has died for. This is someone that Christ loves. This is someone whom Christ has forgiven. This is your brother in Christ. This is an important moment. Even this week, I was in two conversations. And in one of them, I was saying to myself on the phone while they were talking, I said this out loud, not out loud, excuse me, mouthing it. Why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? This has nothing to do with me. Another conversation. This has nothing to do with you. On the one hand, why are you bringing me in? And the second one, why are you getting in? No more. 10:15, 24th of August, my daughter's birthday. The next time anybody calls me and begins to talk about anyone else, I will graciously but decisively interrupt the conversation and say, brother, sister, you are violating Matthew 18. This has nothing to do with me. And if the person persists, I will hang up the phone, if that's what it needs to be. I refuse to be infected or to infect. This takes diligence. This takes commitment. The only way this is going to work, by the way, is if all of us do this. We need all to be committed to this. All of us need to be committed to this. 5:6-8. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of a sincere and truth. You know what he's talking about here? I'm an authority on this. He's talking about Passover. And in the book of Exodus, it said specifically that the people were to clean out, it was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were to have no leaven for 8 days. And my mother would go to every corner of every house of a room, and she would symbolically sweep out and take out all the hot dog rolls or cookies, anything that had leaven. Leaven was a picture of sin. Sin. And you're to clean out all the leaven, so that you are unleavened without this yeast that can infect, spread, not infect in the negative sense. He says, do you not know that a little leaven? Isn't it interesting who he's talking to you, 5? The same group that had dissension, who took communion? Don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Clean out that old leaven so that you may be a new lump, a clean lump, just as you are in fact uncleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Don't you know that Christ has died for this person? Don't you know we come to communion? Don't you know you come as oneness in the body of Christ? It's going to take all of us to do this. You have no idea how serious this is. Pastors say, oh, every church has gossip. Not here. Not here. The elders and I are committed to this. We said this is new. This is a decisive moment. When you and I become a third party involver, we are encouraging that person to those actions. We're not helping. Oh, we're being sympathetic. No, you're not. You're not. You're not being sympathetic. You're not letting the person realize he or she or I the route and what needs to take place to solve it. You're not solving it. You're encouraging that action. You're validating that action. I'm going to give you four examples. I'm going to start with me. Somebody calls me up, and not real life, just to share situations. Pastor, I just want to express to you that I do not approve of your absence from the church. You take trips, you go to Chicago, you go to here. There's needs that are not being met. But, you know, I do not approve, and I want you to know this. I want to be a man or a woman, and I want to express this to you. I can handle that. We can handle that. I want to be able, Pastor, to look you in the eye and have expressed myself to you, to be honest with you, express myself to you. But for the sake of unity, we're going to go forward and serve Jesus Christ. You follow what I'm saying here? That's how you solve the problem. I don't agree with you, Pastor Sam. I do not think it's the right step of your absence. But I want to be able to look you in the eye and say, we are brothers, and we can be open, and we can share, and we can be with open hands and open hearts, but we can lock arms and move forward together. That's how you solve it, brothers and sisters. That's how you solve it. I'll give you another example. Blank. I don't like the music you pick for choir. I don't like the music you pick for choir. I cannot sing anymore in the choir. But I want to be able to look you in the eye that I've expressed myself, and you know why I'm not in the choir, and I know why you are and leading us, whatever it may be, but we are going to lock hands and move forward hand in hand in unity of Jesus Christ. You follow? Hear what I said? That's how you do it. You're not trying to hide. You're being open and honest and sharing and be able to go forward, and it's behind us, and now we go forward. I even despise something you do, but I want to tell you and express it to you and be honest with you and be able to look to you and be a man to you or a woman to you and move forward on it. Because Jesus loves you and he loves me and he loves the church, and we're going to do this for good. That's how you do it. A Sunday school teacher teaches. I don't agree with what you're teaching. I'm calling you up. I don't agree with the ideas of what you're teaching. I will still come to the class, or I may not come to the class, but I want to express it to you. It's not that I'm right and you're wrong. I may think I am right and I may think you are wrong. But for the sake of unity and oneness, we are brothers in Christ. I want to be able to look you in the eye, having expressed myself, and we move forward. I tell you, this is powerful when it's like this. This is powerful. A board makes a decision. You call up the chairman of that board. Ms. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I want to tell you that I know you've done this. I want to express to you that I disagree with it. I'm going to tell you why. I'm expressing myself to you. I want to be able to look you in the eye that we have been honest and open. You express yourself. You share. I'm going to say a number, 95% of differences in the body of Christ would be solved on this level if we did it this way. 95%. Making up a call, calling that person, honestly expressing, 95%. The other 5% are usually offenses that can affect the whole body. So-and-so is homosexual. So-and-so is living and having sex outside of their marriage. Oh, then this is not something just in a phone call. This is something that needs to be approached to confer, to correct, to guide. Music is not a sin of immorality. Unless the person is teaching heresy, unless the pastor is here 48 weeks or 108 weeks a year, that's not a sin of heresy, right? The board decides to do something, it's not a sin. 5%. But if you and I, when you and I continue to infect, now it affects the whole body, like that 5% does. When you make that call, you've settled the issue. You may need to make the call every week. Again, I need to make that call. So I express myself because, again, there's been something renewed. You need to do it every week. This takes commitment. This takes diligence. You know, if all of us refuse to be infected, the person doesn't have anybody to go to. If all of us, the minute something is shared about somebody else, if all of it, you know, this doesn't concern me. Please stop. I share that, please. I'm sorry. But you know, I don't want to hear this. We shouldn't be, I don't want to talk about this. Please, be kind to me. You realize if all of us did this, I wouldn't be able to do it. I may even, in boldness, if someone comes to me and starts to share about somebody else, I may take your hand and lead you to that person and say, Mrs. Debbie, my wife, this person has things to settle with you, and walk away. I may do that. Did you hear what I said? Don't fool around with me. I've seen the Church of Jesus Christ destroyed over this. I've seen the Church of Jesus Christ destroyed over this. I told you when we were at the high school, this church will not be destroyed by the City of Mesa and Planning Committee. This church will not be destroyed by the United States government and whether Bill Clinton's in office. This church will not be destroyed whether somebody keeps the Ten Commandments or not. We will destroy the church. We. You and I. I'm serious about this. If you talk to me about somebody, I may physically take you by the hand and bring you to that person. And you to me. The other famous passage, now you see I'm not done with Matthew 18 because we're going to continue on it next week. I'm just talking about the easiest route, how 95% of these things can be so easily solved by singular, honest, clear, true communication. Matthew 5:23, the next famous passage. Two famous passages, Matthew 5, Matthew 18. Jesus says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. I don't think there's anything. No, then the next thing. Okay. Jesus says these words. If you're at the altar, here's the Jew. He's at the altar. He's at church. He's opening up the hymn book. He's in a sing. He's bring his lamb. He's at communion. And he knows, you know, that this person is upset at me. He remembers his brother has something toward him. You know what you're supposed to do? Forget worshiping me. Forget it. You're worshiping to me in vain. It's a game. Jesus says, leave your altar, forget the sacrifice, forget your hymn singing, forget your offering. Go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Now, this is not as easy. Unless there's been communication that someone's upset, okay, you make a call, you communicate. I can tell you honestly, let me share this with you, that I don't know, I have to ask Paul Allaman, who's pastored, and Don Ortland, Pastor Dan, of course. But when people are upset at me, you know what happens? They don't look at me when I preach. This is true. I'm not saying this to be funny. I have been up in this pulpit looking out, and people are sitting behind the other person refusing to look at me. Now, this has happened many times over many years. And I've often thought to myself, well, you know, they'll get over it. Or, you know, I don't know exactly what the issue may be. Maybe I know the issue. I don't know. You know, and many times I let it go. Sometimes I would go to the person. I no longer anymore. If you can't look at me, I'm going to call you up. I'm going to say, Deborah, is everything okay between you and me? Is everything okay? I just want to make, I want to reach out to you, brother, sister. Pastor Sam, I'm upset about something. Thank you. Now you may say, why didn't you call me? No. Well, here I am. Let's talk about it. You know, you can't guess what's in people's minds. That's a hard thing to do. So-and-so is upset. Well, how are you supposed to know that? That's why it says, if your brother offends you, go to him first. Go to him. But here is the other side, that if you know, you're responsible to go. It's not saying, well, he hasn't come to me, I'm not responsible to go to him. You are responsible to go to him. That's how important Jesus is saying the health of the body is. You are responsible. Even though you don't even know, I've gone to people and I said, is there something I've done? No, Pastor. I mean, I don't have any issues with you. Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Thank you. Forget, just be sure and call me if there's an issue. Oh, I'll call you, Pastor. I've gone to people, is everything all right between us? Well, I do have something. Ah, okay, good. Let's talk about it. I mean, what does this say? What does this say? If your brother has something, leave your offering before the altar, go be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present yourself. Now let me tell you something. This is not complicated. This is like everything concerning God. Forgiveness is not complicated. Salvation is not complicated. We complicate it. Well, but I'm right. I don't have anything to... They should come... Or no, my friend, you see, now you've complicated it. Now you've infected the body. Now you've come with unresolved issues, and you've brought the spiritual tuberculosis. If you can't look at me, I'm going to give you a call. We cannot allow unresolved issues in the church. It has destroyed the church for millenniums. Now let me, I hope I'm trying to guide you step by step, right? What if you have an issue with a board? Let's say the board, the elders have this item, or something about the worship service. Then you go to Al Lundy or Irv Kaparis, who are people in charge of the service. Or Sunday school, you go to Mike Higby. But if you have an issue with a Sunday school teacher, you don't go to Mike Higby. You go to the Sunday school teacher. You get it? You get it, how clear it is? The board decides to do this. You know, everybody in this church is invited to attend the board meeting. You're not a member of the board. You can't come every time you... But if you have an issue, you can come. I can say this very honestly. The elders would agree, I think, with me. If you have something you want to discuss with the elders, come to the elders. But if you start talking to us about somebody, I'm going to interrupt you. Wait. Woo! Woo! This is not with the elders. You have an issue with the person. I will either stand up and walk out. I'm serious about this. It's very clear. It's very simple. We make it complicated. But if there's an issue with a board, you come to the board, the building committee, the Christian Ed, whatever it may be. If you think that the ushers should wear tuxedos, you go to them, say, now you're laughing. But some people think we should all wear ties or no ties. Or you see what I'm saying? You see, we laugh about, well, how ridiculous. But then we have issues. You come and you express yourself. Everyone is invited to a board meeting to express yourself or to resolve. You resolve it that way. You don't go and talk to somebody else about it. I could say that in my counseling, most of the time, the high majority of the time, when people come to me for counseling, they are concerned about issues in relationships outside the church. They have a situation at work. They have a situation in a family. Whatever it may be. And I'm there to just guide them. Many times you have marriage counseling. And of course, in a marriage counseling, the husband has already gone to the wife. The wife has gone to the husband. So there's been this issue. But if you come to me for counseling about an issue in the church of a person, I will not listen to you. I refuse to be affected and infected. I will interrupt the counseling and say, you know, it is very clear what you ought to do, and this is not what you ought to do. I'm not on your side or anybody's side. We should be on the Lord's side, and He's told us very clearly what to do. You know who John MacArthur is? famous pastor. Preaches to 7,000 people at Grace Church. I've been to his college 10 times, Master's College. I'm going there March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd again this year. Speak at chapel. You know, all he does is preach. All he does is study. He has 20 other pastors. But he once said that there was a time in his ministry when he was counseling. And he was getting people coming to him for counseling and sharing their problems. And you know what he said? He finally got to the point he said this. I just want to ask you a question. In the last 2 weeks, have you been praying every day? Well, Pastor, it's hard to pray. I'll be honest with you. I've been negligent of my praying to Jesus to really have my devotion. Have you been reading the Word? Well, Pastor, you know. He said he stopped counseling then. He says, I want you to go home, and for 2 weeks, I want you to read and pray every day. You know what he said? 90% of the people never came back to him. Now, you may say, well, they didn't come back because he wasn't sympathetic. Well, he says that they didn't come back because they were finally doing what was the answer to their problem. We'll be done here in 3-4 minutes. The last passage. I want to show you an example of this. Everything I've talked to you about, I want to show you an example. This is Matthew 26, 59 to 63. This is Jesus before the Sanhedrin. This is before the Jews. Not Pilate, not the Romans, but the Jews. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus. They want to find that he broke the Jewish law. And they were trying to find false testimonies and witnesses verifying that he had broken the Jewish law, that he deserved death. They kept trying to obtain false testimonies so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, Here is a man that's to verify a condemnation of Jesus. This man stated, this man is saying that this man Jesus said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said to him, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent. Now, you know, this is a true statement. I am able to destroy this temple and in 3 days rebuild it. And they said, what kind of a statement is that about the temple? You're greater than the temple? Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Of course, he kept telling them that. Do you know when Jesus said this statement? I'm looking for a response. Do you know when Jesus said this statement? The first 2 months of his ministry, 3 years before this moment. John chapter 2, verse 17, it is the first Passover. The first Passover. Jesus has just been baptized. He's preached and he's gone to Jerusalem for the first requirement. His disciples remembered that it was written. Remember now he knocked out the money changers. This shall be a house of prayer, but you made it a den of robbers. My Father's house. The Jews then said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? What sign? What's your authority? Who are you? You're the rabbi from Nazareth, from Galilee. You're not even schooled in Jerusalem. You're not even have a parish here in Jerusalem, a synagogue here. What authority? And Jesus said, I'm willing to share with you an authority. Destroy this temple. There it is. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. The Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple. And you said to raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he'd been raised from the dead, now I know you said, amen, amen. That's not the point. The point is, here was a Jewish man who heard this and was bothered by it. He was bothered by it. What arrogance. He can rebuild the temple? He didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And if he would have gone to Jesus and said, Jesus, Jesus, what do you mean by saying such a preposterous, error-filled, hypocritical comment about destroying the temple? I will tell you what I meant by that. He didn't come to Jesus. 3 years later, he brings it up to Jesus' face to crucify him. Do you know what unresolved differences do? It crucifies. Did you hear what I said? Unresolved issues end up crucifying. Do you know who finally heard these same words and was bothered by it and came to Jesus? Nicodemus. A man came to him by night. You may say, well, he was ashamed. Okay, but he still came to him. You can call me up at night. Call someone else up at night. He came to him by night and he said, What do you do these things? And what happened to Nicodemus? He became a believer. He gave Jesus his tomb to be buried. And he rejoiced. See the difference? See the difference? One man solved it according to Jesus. One man solved it not according to Jesus. And it was used to crucify your Lord. This is how they crucified the Lord. And you know what's sad? This is how we crucify each other in the church. This is a moment for Grace Church. I've never tried this. It's a little scary. I don't know if it's going to work. But one thing I know, it's God's will. You don't have to pray, Lord, should I call up this person? It's God's will. Should I go to this person? It's God's will. You talk to somebody? That's not God's will. That's not God's will. That's not God's will. Now again, I told you, these are serious messages that can solve a whole lot of pain. This is for our good and for our blessing. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. We commit ourselves to you. We thank you for the power of your word because we know that heaven and earth is going to pass away and our gossip will pass away and this church will pass away. And this building will pass away, and we will pass away, but your word endures forever because it is the truth. Help us not to interpret our own truth or make our own truth. Help us to live by your truth. We will be giants, spiritual giants. We take you seriously, Lord. This is not a game. This is not a game. This is not entertainment. This is life and death, heaven and hell, eternity. Forgive us of our sins and renew in us clean hands and a pure heart, clean tongue, pure tongue, for the glory of your Son. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in his love.